Well, I am excited, not necessarily because we're coming to the end of a series, but just the thought that God has taken us not only through a series on spiritual warfare, but we have also are coming to the end of our series on the book of Ephesians. My prayer has been that as we have spent time in this book, that God has worked in your heart and in your life. I love what one commentator said. He says that the book of Ephesians begins by lifting us up into the heavenlies, and it ends by pulling us down on our knees. And I think that's a profound thought, that this book was designed that we might come to understand the power of the salvation God has wrought in our life, how it has set us free to walk, to be effective in the relationships of our lives. And ultimately, it gives us this picture as we come to a close that we have been armed with spiritual armor, that we would stand firm as we face an enemy. But all of that is impossible in our strength or power. It can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to this not total concluding topic. Pastor Mike is going to be able to wrap up the series next week, but to this thought that we have to be a praying people. Christians must be marked by dependent prayer. Why? Prayer is primary. I remember as a child, and I literally remember this. Some of you probably hear me say those things and wonder, is he lying? Is he making it up? I'm not. I have a very, almost when it comes to certain things, almost photographic. It's so real for me. I can literally picture things. I remember sitting in the living room. I remember the color of the carpet. The first time I ever watched the Swiss Family Robinson Disney movie. Now, for those of you who are much younger than me, you may have missed out on this epic piece of adventure. But let me tell you, a giant plastic python was a big deal in the 80s. I'm just saying. And anyway, the story of the Swiss Family Robinson movie begins with a family trapped under the decks of a ship. And all of the captain and the crew have abandoned ship. And they're literally just being tossed to and fro by the waves, and you just get a sense, is it going to capsize, is it going to crash? Well, finally, the ship runs aground, and it kind of fades to black, and you wake up in the morning, and they finally bust out from down and below, and they get above, and they see that there in front of them is a deserted stretch of land. Is it an island? Is it whatever? They don't know, but they realize they're on a reef. They've got to get off this thing. They put together some kind of makeshift raft, and they fight the waves and the tide and everything, and they finally get their whole family to shore, and they're there, and they all look like drowned dogs, you know, just wet, and they're sitting there on the shore. And I remember the dad, and I've never forgotten this, because it was a very stirring thing to me that suddenly my faith showed up in a movie. Because the dad looks up and goes, well, the first thing we need to do is we got to find some kind of shelter, and we got to. And then all of a sudden the mom reaches over and she takes his hand and she says, not the first thing. And she pulls him down on his knees, and the whole family, Disney film, bows and prays. Edward Payson is the man's name, wrote this. He said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, and the third thing. And I love that. To fight effectively in spiritual warfare. If we are going to be effective for the gospel, which I hope to encourage you all, that is actually the big deal behind spiritual warfare and the whole point of us being alive and breathing and saved today. If we are going to be effective in that, then we must be a people of prayer. Why? Prayer is the most tangible, experiential way of recognizing that the battle belongs to the Lord. That everything that has been done in your life in salvation, and everything that has been granted to you in salvation, and all of the armor that God would have you put on is all empowered and manufactured by the Holy Spirit of God. And for us to think that we can somehow operate any of this equipment without Him means we've missed the whole picture of what does it mean to be saved, and we have no concept of where power resides in spiritual warfare. It is prayer animated. Otherwise, you have a nice museum piece of armor that can get kicked over by anybody who wants to. You with me? So open your Bible up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. And we are going to begin by this idea that prayer is primary. Prayer is primary. And another way of saying that is that we understand it's primary and it's so important. Therefore, what are we doing when we pray? We are being dependent. Dependent upon God's Spirit to help us in the life He's called us to live. Verse 18 says this, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Now, even a casual reading of that verse, you kind of notice there's this one word that just keeps getting repeated. And it's not prayer. It's all. All. Five alls. Why are they there? That you would understand that prayer is something that applies to everything, is incorporated in everything, and is necessary for everything. God never backs off of this word all. And that should lead us a little bit to understand how important is prayer in our life. It's an all thing. Prayer is not a sometimes thing. Prayer is not a specific thing or even a general thing. It's an all thing. And don't feel guilt about that. Many of us grew up in religious settings that prayer was before every meal and in church. And you hope somebody else did it in church. Right? I mean, here's the appropriate places for prayer. And Paul takes that idea and he just nukes it. Not true. It's an all thing. And a couple of things that we learn about the kind of prayer that God wants in your life and He wants in my life. To begin with, the prayers that we pray should be varied. Varied. Notice that first phrase. With all prayer and petition. What is this saying? It is saying that dependent warriors, Christian people called into spiritual battle, pray in every situation. Not some, every situation. You say, where's the varied are you talking about here? The two words for there, prayer and then petition. Prayer is a general word in the Greek. It's prosuke, and it has this idea of all general, any kind of prayer, just general prayers. But then you get to this other word, petition, and it's the word deisis, and it has this idea of pinpoint, absolutely specific, for a very specific reason kind of prayer. And so Paul is saying, you need to be people who are praying for everything, and anything is included in that, and very specific things, and everything in between. We pray about them. And this points to the fact that we literally should be involved in all kinds of prayer, and we'll get to the all the time. Let me read you a great quote. Prayer is to be varied to fit the multiple situations of life. We pray in confession, praise, thanksgiving, intercession, adoration, meditation. We pray in humility before God, in song. We also pray in Scripture in all kinds of postures. We pray with hands raised. We pray with hands lowered. We pray with open eyes. We pray with closed eyes. We pray on our knees. We pray on our faces. Sometimes we pray silently. Here's the point. We pray. We pray. In every kind of scenario. Let me point it this way. There is no place in any waking moment of your day where prayer is not appropriate. It's going on. In every situation, it is an invitation to be in connection with the God who saved you in a personal, powerful, intimate way. God wants us to be praying all kinds of prayers. He rejoices in the prayer over your dinner. He rejoices in the prayer for your child. He rejoices in the prayer that your car will start. How many of you have prayed that prayer? He rejoices in all of that. But you know what he rejoices in more? The fact that you know that's the priority. Are you a prayer in desperation or in relationship? And that's the conviction that Paul's coming at this. We are to pray many kinds of prayers. I have been so thankful for people in my life who have taught me much about praying. Now, I'm going to give you a phrase. You may find this ridiculous, but I am thankful, and I thought about, and God just kind of hit me with this. I am thankful in my life for the Bobs of prayer. When I was in high school, my youth pastor was named Bob Burrows. He scared me to death. You want to know why? He believed this. He used to come see me at the high school, my public high school. I remember one day he caught me in the middle of the plaza. He's a great big guy, would wear a big cowboy hat. It was like neon flashing, here's Bob. And he would come up. I remember he put his arm around me one day. John, how are you doing, man? Oh, I don't know. I got this test I got to take, and I'm not sure. We need to ask God for it. And he drops to his knees, pulled me down with him, hand up in the air, Lord! That loud. I mean, just, God, John needs you right now in this moment, Lord, and be with him. And then I remember him praying, and let him be reminded, God, that you have a plan for him, whether he passes or fails. And now everybody knows, you know, that God has a plan for me. He was this big, boisterous personality. There was another guy named Bob, my first pastorate, Boise, Idaho. He would meet with me and a group of men in this men's Bible study. The antithesis of Bob Burrows was Bob. And Bob was the quietest, gentlest, meek guy you just ever met. And remember, it didn't matter what we were doing. I'd be talking about something. He always leaned over and kind of almost whispered, hey, Pastor, can we pray about that? Hey, Pastor, can we pray about that?
Like right now?
Yeah, just a short one. Can we pray about that? And then I moved here. And I am not doing this to heap praise on you, brother. But you pray for me. And you've taught me a lot about my Savior. And I thank you. You know, prayer is an every occasion thing. But some of us live with a professionalized idea of our walk with Jesus. And we try to fit everything in its boxes. That's because it's not about intimacy with your Savior or dependence. It's about checking boxes. And then all of a sudden you bump into somebody who's actually walking around curious to know Jesus. And so they talk to him all the time and they bring him into everything. You ever irritated by people like that? Would you just back up your spiritual truck and let me have a bad day? I never said that out loud. But be reminded, prayers every time, all occasions, we are always praying in every situation. The other thing, God wants to make it very clear that this kind of prayer is supposed to be continual. And for those of you who came out of legalistic backgrounds, this instantly sounds like demerit conversation. We use words like continual prayer. And you need to know, it's as far from that as you could possibly imagine. What Paul is saying, he says, you know, prayer and petition, and he says, at all times. Literally, prayer is supposed to be like the calling card of the Christian life. How do you know someone is a believer? They pray. How often they pray? They pray all the time. This idea here, you know, when do we pray? Well, we pray when we meet. We pray when we, you know, go out. We pray when we come in. We pray when we wake up. We pray when we lie down. We pray when we start a job. We pray in the middle of the job. We pray at the end of the job. What do we do as Christians? We pray. We're constantly in communication with God. And you say, John, that seems a little excessive. Go to the Word of God and you will only find this picture. Jesus, when he commends his disciples in Luke 21, what does he tell them as he's going to leave them? He says, keep on alert at all times, praying. Praying all times in order that you may have strength to escape these challenges that are going to come. You want to know the mark of the New Testament church? Acts chapter 2. What did they do? They continually devoted themselves to prayer. The most hopeful picture of this that I bumped into in my studies this week, if you want a great verse, Romans 12, 12. This is a picture of the Christian life. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. That's the picture. Devoted to prayer. Do you get the sense that God wants a relationship with us? And he wants it to be in everything and all the time. Kairos, the word here for time, is a really unique word. Because what it does is it pushes back against this idea of legalistic prayer.
Well, you know, I pray three times a day and I'm there at 6 and then at noon and at 4. And sometimes if I'm really spiritual, I'll catch the evening prayer too. You know.
No. Kairos has to do with every opportunity. Not time, but opportunity that God would give you to be in prayer and in relationship with him. And I love that. This is a great thought. Listen to me on this. This comes from Pastor Kent Hughes. He says, prayer is not so much the articulation of words as the posture of the heart. You know what that means? It means prayer is not about the words you're saying, it's about the frequency you're on. It means you're tuned to who? The Holy Spirit. Now, when I was thinking of this idea of being tuned to someone, I couldn't help but think of Kim and all my experience with a mom being tuned to the heart of her kids. How many of you have noticed that in general, moms are tuned to the hearts of their kids? I mean, they are on a different frequency with their children much of the time. And I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm just saying that mom has a sense of not just what the kid is wearing or if they've eaten. She knows how their heart's doing. And she has a sense that it's time for a hug. It might be time for the random pudding pop that came out of nowhere. Why? Because she has a sense of what's going on. In fact, over the course of my married life, I can't tell you, many times my wife has come to me and said, honey, you need to be a little bit more tuned to your children. Guess what I've never told my wife? Honey, you need to be more tuned to our children. Now, has she been I'm sure. But the idea is, I've been the one who's really had to grow in this. It's the idea that I'm in the room, but I'm aware of their hearts, not just what I'm doing. And it matters in how they affect. Now, flip the whole thing on the head and understand that prayer is my being tuned to the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the room. What does he want? How does he feel? What is his hope? What is his desire? And the idea of continually praying is continually taking the frequency of my heart and pulling it away from me being the primary motivator and going, no, prayer is my opportunity to realize I have been saved by a God who graciously made me alive in Christ, who has cared for all of my needs, and the worst thing that can happen to me today is he takes me home to glory. He's got me, but he's also got a reason for me being here, and he's probably got purposes and plans for me. I wonder what he thinks. And the fact is, if you are a person who does not pray, then you have to be willing to, at this point in your life, do the mental math and understand there are implications of that. And that is not to smack you this morning. It is to say that if the only thing you are tuned to, even in your prayer life, is you, then you've missed the point of spiritually empowered prayer. It doesn't mean that you don't matter, but how many of you know Scripture is pretty clear that God's got you? That's profound. Prayer is us being tuned to God. And I love that because it means that we are constantly kind of pinging back and forth. And prayer doesn't always look like some formulaic thing where you're just in the, you know, assume the knee down, head forward, bowed, fold your hands. How many of you know if you don't fold them, it doesn't count? Fold them, get them down. I love this. Thomas Kelly, a writer, he said this, there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at a time. On one level, we can be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs, but deep within, behind the scenes, at a profound level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship. And listen to this, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. Isn't that good? Means I've got a day and I got to get it done. Any of you got stuff going on this week? But where are you tuned? Where's the conversation behind the scenes? I used to live with so much guilt because I literally lived in a realm where I thought prayer was always formulaic and I never viewed myself as having any consistency of a prayer life. And then this concept began to came forward. I don't abuse it. I don't think I've deeply prayed because of this. But you need to know that at this point in my life, I talk to Jesus all the time. I'll be in the middle of something and I'll be like, man, what do you think? Or I just wonder in my mind, God. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, I was praying. And I didn't even get points. No. Why? Because it is a deeper thing. Yes, we need to enter into moments of deep intercessory prayer. Focused, everything. But understand that prayer is relational. And you are supposed to be constantly interacting with God about it. Why? Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Friends, the limitation of this kind of dialogue with God is the anxiety level of your life. That's why this is such a cool opportunity. And ultimately, it's so vital because as the verse goes on, it says, in the Spirit. This prayer life of ours is supposed to be empowered. What does that mean? It means it has to be infused and strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because on your best day, your most theologically articulate day, your you didn't sin day, all of you, you're the best you can ever do. Let me tell you what you do not know how to do. You don't know how to pray. Because it's communication with the living God. Any of you feel sufficient for that one? Yeah, we just talked. And the Bible's pretty clear. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. It means that, how many of you are aware you woke up with a flesh this morning? Did that confuse anything? Make any a little more selfish you wanted to? I mean, we have these conflicting things. But when it says that we are to pray in the Spirit, it means that we have to be willing to let the Spirit lead us in prayer. This is an incredibly humbling thing. Most of us, if we're honest, struggle to pray as often as we should. And part of the reason is we're like, you know, well, what do I talk about? Or how do I express myself? Or do all this kind of stuff? You know, and here's the thing. You want to talk about what's even more humbling than dealing with the magnitude of your prayer life is dealing with the fact that you need help. And I need help. In what? In what we ask for. In what we ask for. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray. Literally, when was the last time in your prayers you prayed this? God, would you help me with praying today? Because I don't know what to ask you for. And I'm pretty sure if it's up to me, I'm going to miss what you want. I read that this week, and I was just like, sometimes don't you ever feel like this book grows a hand that slaps you in the chin? Oh, God would never do that. But it felt that way. I was just like, I'm just jumping before the throne of grace, assuming, I mean, I'm a pastor, that I got this. I know what to pray for. I know how to pray for you saints. I know what's up. I mean, come on. God says that to be empowered by the Spirit, that means when we go to prayer, we are dependently going, oh Spirit, even as I begin this conversation, you know my heart, you know the things I'm, would you lead me? Would you inform me? Would you help me? I want this prayer to be effective. God, I need your help. Those of you who are men in this auditorium have been spared a humbling process. And you want to know why you've been spared? Because before my time, there was no GPS on your phone. And so you know what a man did when he didn't know where he was going? He just kept going. Far be it from me to pull into that gas station and ask, where am I? No, as your wife sat there in silence, simmering, just ask for help.
I'm fine.
No, that's so stereotypical, I know, and I'm sure it's been reversed and all those good things. How much more so in the most important area of our life are any of us asking for help in our prayer life? Isn't that freeing to any of you? The thought that God knows our weaknesses and He wants to empower us, that's so profound. What is happening when we go to prayer is really profound. So many of us think prayer is just get out what you need, try to say it with the right kind of spiritual whatever, be honest, and then get out. What we don't realize is that when we pray in the Spirit, we are actually, just as we are tuning our heart to Him and continually going to Him in prayer, there is a tuning that goes on in the praying. We're trying to align ourselves with the will of God. Here's the thing. Are you pretty sure God knows your situation? I mean, we think about it. It doesn't feel like it's up, but He is. He knows what's going on. He knows your heart. He knows what hurts. He knows what's good. He knows what's bad. He knows why you're up, why you're down, all those things. He knows all of it. But have you asked this question? Does He have an agenda? And are you happy about it? Because His answer may not be yours. But let me tell you something. Your answer is joyless. Your answer, apart from the Spirit of God's working, is apart from God's huge, glorious, encouraging, hopeful plan of taking little you and pulling you into the kingdom of heaven and what God's got planned for the day. But in your mind, when you're not aligning, you're not saying, God, what do you want to do? Here's the crazy thing. Do you believe God can do anything He wants? Here's the shock. And He'd like to do that through you. He's decided He gets glory when you and I, in our weakness in life, come to Him humbly. Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do in this moment. But God, I don't want to miss your heart. I really do. Even though I so want it to go this way, I know somehow you work all things together for good. Your word says that. I want to pray that your will would actually take place and that I would get to partner with you on it. Because as long as I'm not partnering with you on it, my joy is back here on my agenda. But when it starts partnering on your agenda, then suddenly, do you think God's like, oh no, we could never do that. We can never save them. We can never deliver you from that. I mean, it's too big. No! He's not sweating anything. What's the whole point of prayer? To figure out if God can answer it? Already done! What's the big deal? Where's your heart? Because He loves you. He's making you like Christ. He wants to pull you into something awesome. He wants to pull you into some great experience. And I'm not talking about some massive thing. You want to know the most exciting thing? Within the little details of your life, the Holy God of the universe shows up. and cares. Isn't that awesome? I'm illustrating a lot with my family today, mostly because my son Ben's leaving, but... You walked out. He's doing an errand for his dad, so love you, boy. No, literally, this happened a couple times when my kids were... Here's the thing. As a dad, you figure this out. Your kids don't figure it out yet. If they try to take you down in a wrestling match and come at you one at a time, they have no chance. You are bigger, stronger, and you can just throw them around like nothing, and you dominate the field, and it's a very pridefully powerful experience, you know, and you just, yeah, I'm your fault. I go lay wait. Anyway, but there's been a couple times where they all came at me at once. I remember one time, I can hear my son Alex's voice ring out, "Get his legs!" Five little bodies. And boom, went straight down, and there was nothing I could do. They completely took me out. Why? They were united. Is anything impossible with God? But are you united to His will? That is prayer. That's agreement with God. The power is not the issue. The fact is, when you stand against spiritual forces and the enemy, God does not quake, wondering if the enemy is going to take Him. He defeated Him on the cross. Amen? That is the truth. So what is He longing for in that moment? He is longing for you to get to participate in who He is, in the situations of your life. That's what's going on. Fourth thing, God wants us to be persistent in our prayer. He says, with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition. This is a great thought, and I summarize it all with this idea of the word persistence. Because really what he's saying there, and stick with it. Let me tell you this, it is hard to pray for the will of God. Don't think I'm up here saying, oh, if you just get aligned with God, you're going to just trips along, join hands, and... No. This is where the battle of prayer is fought. To literally be dependent and keep working at developing this kind of dependent prayer life, where you are literally crying out to God, where you are recognizing, am I tuned to the Holy Spirit today? Am I inviting Him into the processes of my life? Persistence really has the idea of an obstinance, persistence to a task. Like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing this. And let me tell you, friend, if you really want to see a lot of spiritual growth in your life, you're going to have to stick with prayer. And you're going to have to lock your teeth into it, not because you're going to get a reward, but because this is what God's called you to do. And as you do it, I'm going to tell you, it's going to transform your life. I've probably shared this before. I took a seminary course on prayer. When I walked into the class, the professor put a contract down in front of every student. He says, you're going to pray an hour every day for the rest of this semester. No days off. I was furious. I was like, you can't grade prayer? What legal? And I was like, this is the craziest thing. But I signed it. Oh, those first couple days, they were agony. Why? About 7 minutes in, I've covered everything I want to talk to God about. And I'm like, oh my word. And all of a sudden, over the course of time, I discovered something. That's in the next point, and that is that prayer is to be directed at all the saints, but it's this. God has a much bigger world than mine. And I hadn't been praying about it. And all of a sudden, my prayer life, I started wandering into prayer realms I hadn't prayed. You know, I prayed for missionaries I hadn't thought of in years. And suddenly I had a little missions moment in my prayer life that I'd never had before. And I'm like, praying for missionaries. And then I stopped praying, like, keep them healthy and alive, God, for my kids. And I started praying for other things. And I start praying for my wife, and I started praying for all these things, and then I began to pray for my church, and I prayed for my professors, and I prayed for my pastors, and I started praying, and the opportunities for prayer just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was praying about these things and praying, and I can't tell you when it happened, but at some point I remember my alarm went off and I'm like, I'm not done! It was the most transforming class I ever took in my life. And it changed my perception of prayer forever. I think it's interesting to me that there has to be a willingness on your part to change your commitment to prayer. I'm not saying you're sufficient for it. I'm not saying it won't go unchallenged, church. But there has to be a willingness. Because ultimately, the prayer ends, and he says, I want you to be praying for all the saints. Isn't it interesting that when God prepares us for battle, he is concerned with our spiritual man, not our physical one? In the same way, you come to this passage, and he says, look, the priority of your prayer should be oriented towards others and not yourself. Prayer is God's permission for you to be involved in more than your own life. And I want to say this in love to you, church. You're not nearly as fascinating as you think. And you're not nearly as complicated as you've made it. That's a little spiritual enemy who just keeps feeding you that thought. Here's the truth. Most of what needs to be talked about between you and the Lord could be done in about 5 minutes. It doesn't mean it doesn't weigh like 5 million pounds. But the truth is, if God is your Savior, and I'm not telling you that God doesn't care, but you go through the whole, you know, Sermon on the Mount, and all you find out is, hey, seek first Him and His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things. He's got you. He loves you. He knows you. He cares about those things. Does He want you to come to Him with your heart? Yes, but He saved you for a bigger reason. And the reason was that you were not saved singular, you were saved into the body of Christ. Look around you, God is building something bigger than the four walls of your house. And you know what that should mean? Not that God doesn't care about you, but God is not content for you to subsist on the joy of just your world. He wants your heart over in Africa. He wants it down the street. He wants it in your Bible study. He wants it with your kids. He wants you to be tapping into a God who's at work in all places at all times. And the fact is, the way into it is prayer. It's God's permission. And it also is the place where God will make you effective. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to finish the sermon. We have communion to take. But I want to give you this illustration. Do you know that God wants to use your prayer life to change somebody's world? That God moves and responds to the requests of your life. And you know when He loves to open the floodgates? When we are praying in concert with what the Spirit desires. I know my life is different because people have prayed for me. Do you? And that somebody got beyond the four walls of their life and began to have a relationship with God and prayer and began to pray and desire God's blessing. And it's a profound thing. I know this is a little different, but last week was my dad's birthday. Obviously, he's in heaven, but we were all thinking, you know, it would have been fun to party with him, you know. After he died, I found his prayer journal. And I found a request that was made for 7 years straight, 2 or 3 times a week. God, give my son John a godly wife. Seven years. And she's right there. And why she's with me is only that.
I know we care about our kids, but when we fervently are praying and recognizing that we want God to be involved, I guess if I can't get through, I promise I will pick up these pieces. There's more to be said. But prayer is when we align and tune ourselves with the heart of God. If that is happening, let me tell you, you will know it, because it will take you beyond your own life. It will recognize that God has a purpose in you, for you. Yes, He's got you. But you will begin to be set free, knowing that the living God is the one at work. Amen? Hang on to that. Well, let me pray for you. God, I just thank you. Oh Lord, would we be more and more a people of prayer? Not in some pious religious way, God, but in a relationally dependent way. Seeing everything as an opportunity to align our heart with yours and to ask, Spirit, what do you want to do? Spirit, how do you want to move? Spirit, help us. We need you. And God, may the result of that be an animation of everything in our lives, spiritually, that we would be changed. Amen.